Well, here we are, 3 days into the new year. Did you make any resolutions for 2023? And have you already given up and thrown in the towel on one or more of your resolutions? Or are you still going strong on those goals for this new year? If you're still trying to make good on your resolution, I have 7 tips that can help you. It can set you up for success in achieving your goals. I'll share them with you coming up next.
Helping you grow deeper on your spiritual journey. Welcome to The Inner Life with Josh Raymond.
Well, first of all, Happy New Year. And more importantly, we are still in the season of Christmas, so let me wish you a very Merry Christmas. All right, 7 tips on how you can be better at keeping your resolutions for the new year. These come from the health experts at UC Davis. First of these tips, don't set too many goals. Be picky with your goals. Choosing one or two things, that's better. Make the, you know, whatever your top priorities are, go all in on them. You'll be able to focus better on one or two resolutions rather than a long list of goals. Number two, plan for your goal. Think through how you want to accomplish your goal, how long it's going to take. Do some research that can help you map out a strategy and a timetable. Number three, make your goals specific. You know, rather than it being very general and abstract, if you say, I want to exercise more, be detailed. What does more mean? It could be that you define more exercise as 30 minutes each day. Or an hour 3 times a week. So be specific. Tip number 4, start small. If you try and take on too much, you're likely to find yourself overwhelmed and then you're going to give up. So look for little milestones that you can easily achieve, and then that progress ongoing, it becomes more attainable. Number 5 of these 7 tips, this is to choose a new resolution. If you've found yourself picking the same resolution for the last few years, but then you don't stick with it, you kind of kick it to the curb after a couple of weeks into the new year, well, try a new goal for this year. Start with something fresh, or at the very least, modify your prior resolution so that you can maybe have a new approach for it. Number 6 here is to find accountability partners. Tell at least one or two people that you're actually setting a goal and ask them to hold you accountable. Another great suggestion along this line that I heard is to give a friend or a family member, somebody that you trust, give them some money to hold for you. Maybe that's $100, maybe it's $500, whatever amount is appropriate for you, but give them something, you know, that will keep you motivated. And you can't get that money back until you reach your goal. So you've got some money on the line there. Finally, tip number 7 is to give your resolution time to become a habit. There was a study done in 2009 that found on average, it varies person by person, but on average, it takes 66 days to form a new habit. So be patient with yourself. If you have minor setbacks, if you don't hit your goal 1 week, you know, just pick back up the next week. Keep going. And this last tip is really important because there's a day that has now become known as Quitter's Day. It's the second Friday in January. This is the date when it's most likely that the majority of people around the globe, they're going to give up on their New Year's resolutions. So this year, it's January 13th. So if you can keep focused on your goal for more than 2 weeks, if you can make it past January 13th, if you can stay at it, you're more likely to continue on. And if you can keep at it for a couple of months, you might be at a good place where you have developed a new healthy habit in your life. And when we talk about healthy habits and New Year's resolutions, of course, we typically think about the physical side of life. Eat better, to lose weight, to exercise more. But how about that spiritual side of life? Do you ever set any resolutions for your spiritual life? Well, today on The Inner Life, of course, this being a program that deals with spiritual direction, we want to look at ideas of some spiritual resolutions. And along with that, how we can keep those resolutions, how we can make them part of that long-term growth in our goal of knowing and loving and serving God. And joining me today as our spiritual director, I'm very glad to welcome back to the program Father Ethan Southard. Father Ethan is a priest in the Archdiocese of Los Angeles. He's the pastor of St. John Ude's Church in Chatsworth, California. Father Ethan, Merry Christmas. Welcome back to The Inner Life.
Thank you, Josh. Merry Christmas to you and Happy New Year. It's great to be with you all today.
Always glad to be able to talk with you. And before we actually dive into our topic of spiritual resolutions, of course, the big story in church news from this past weekend is the death of Pope Benedict XVI. And I wanted to take a moment or two here at the top of the hour and just ask for some of your thoughts on Pope Benedict's life, his legacy, maybe what his papacy especially meant for you in your vocation as a priest.
Thank you, Josh. Yeah, it was Pope Francis gave us an insight last week, and he said that Pope Benedict XVI was very ill, and to pray for him. And so it was amazing to hear the whole church, indeed the whole world, respond with prayer and just really keeping Benedict at heart. So it wasn't a surprise, really, when he passed. He was 95. I think he's the longest or the oldest pontiff in church history, if I'm not mistaken. But in any case, the news came, and you remember where you are. I was just still in bed, and I heard the news, and the church and the world responds to that. But he is a giant. He's a huge figure in the history of our church. It's amazing because he was actually serving as a theologian in the Second Vatican Council. And so for him to be there and to rise, so to speak, through the ranks of the church as a priest, as a bishop, and later a cardinal, and ultimately pope, and then Pope Emeritus, he really has left quite a legacy for the church. And it's not only with his theology. I think he's going to be considered as one of the greatest theological minds that the church has ever had. He's written really, really beautiful works. Introduction to Christianity, which is a great introduction. It's a great read to help share a little bit of what it means to be a Christian and what the church means in our world. But even as Pope, he wrote a beautiful letter. A series of books, Jesus of Nazareth, which are great reflections for anyone, really, particularly during Lent or even during Advent and into the Christmas season. But I think one of the most important works that Benedict has written is one of his encyclicals, Deus Caritas Est, God is Love. And so he really speaks to the notion, you know, sometimes that we could think of a God, or our world could think of a God, or even the name of God, it's sometimes associated with vengeance or hatred, or maybe the name God or the idea of God conjures up fear. And that goes even back to the beginning when Adam and Eve, they hid. They were afraid of how God would respond to their sin. And certainly that still has, that wound is still affecting all of us. And Benedict, he seeks to speak of the limitless love that God pours out upon humanity. You know, no, God isn't vengeful. God isn't punishing us. God doesn't hate us. We don't have to be afraid of God. But no, our God is love. And at the heart of what that means for us, it reminds us that for us to love, that we too must receive love. So if one wishes to give love, they must also be able to receive love. And indeed, we hear John in his first letter in chapter 4, verse 10. He says, "In this is love, not that we have loved first, but that God has loved us." And so that's a legacy of Pope Benedict XVI that he's going to leave with all of us, that we must really be open to God's love and to share it.
Was he the, I'm presuming he was Pope when you entered the seminary, Father?
He was Pope That's correct. He was Pope when I entered the seminary. I think all of us, even if you weren't Catholic or practicing your faith, remembered when Pope John Paul II passed away. He was such a, you know, so to speak, rock star. and you know, he met with Bono and different, you know, he really opened up the church to pop culture in a certain sense. He would meet with rock stars from, you know, U2 and others. And so when Pope John Paul II passed away, you know, the world stood still. And then Pope Benedict, actually, Joseph Ratzinger, he had presided over the funeral for Pope John Paul. And then just a few, maybe 2 weeks later, he was named Pope, Pope Benedict the 16th. And an interesting fact, he actually took the name Benedict. He loved Saint Benedict, but he was also referencing Pope Benedict the 15th, who was Pope during the First World War. And so I think Benedict, or Ratzinger, was just concerned with the world being so divided and polarized. And he was really calling forth on that legacy for the Pope of Peace, as Benedict the 15th was known as. But yes, Benedict was Pope when I went into the seminary. And I remember actually when he resigned, and I think ultimately that's going to be part of his legacy as well. There was such, you know, that hadn't happened in over 600 years, right, when a Pope resigned. And so in the seminary, it just rocked the seminary. We were stunned and amazed. I was actually taking a class in ecclesiology, you know, so the life of the church. And our professor was flabbergasted. He says, "You guys, this just doesn't happen." So each day it felt like we were really living through history. It was a really exciting time. It was just an uncertain time. We didn't know what this meant. But I think ultimately, you know, if so many people think of Pope Francis as being a humble person, being a humble priest, you know, he takes public transportation, and he's living in the guest house in the Vatican. He's not in, you know, the big papal rooms. But the church wouldn't have Pope Francis if it wasn't for Pope Benedict. Because what a humble man to step down from being Pope when it hadn't been done for so long before.
Right.
But he was really in touch with the Holy Spirit, and he said that he really had felt that God was calling him to resign.
Yeah.
And so
I was just going to say, Father, it's interesting too, because he, you know, as a cardinal, I believe the age that they submit their resignation to the Holy Father is 75.
Correct.
And then he was actually 78 when he was elected Pope, because Pope John Paul II had refused to let him retire. He kept him working alongside him, even though I you know, the stories were always that, oh, he just wanted to kind of go back to academia and be able to spend a life in prayer and quiet solitude. And yet he, after his age of retirement, he's called then by the Holy Spirit, by the church, to be the Pope, and he's the Pope for just shy of 8 years, and then steps down and resigns from that, knowing that he's just not able to meet the requirements physically. You know, he even talked about how just mentally he wasn't able to do the things that were required of him when he made that announcement of his resignation. So we got to see somebody who worked beyond the time that we might normally expect someone, but then also gives us this example that, you know, there is only so much you can do. And he just, you know, said, "I'm going to spend the rest of my life praying for the faithful." And I thought that was such a beautiful way for him to show, you know, we got to see Pope John Paul II, his predecessor, living with all these infirmities of his old age up until the end of the papacy, and we got to see kind of a different perspective with Pope Benedict.
Absolutely. And, you know, I hope Pope Francis continues to stay healthy, although he's been in a wheelchair recently. You know, I think he's suffering from sciatica. But he's the same age. He's 85 right now. And that was the age that Pope Benedict had stepped down. And in fact, going back to that resignation, the year of 75, Pope Francis had, I think he said that he had gone through kind of a grieving process on his own, Jorge Bergoglio, because he was stepping down at 75. He had to submit his resignation, and he was preparing to leave behind kind of that active ministry. And I think there was kind of a death, so to speak, of and maybe even a little depression or sadness. And he was certainly not expecting to be, you know, named Pope. So that kind of, he said the Holy Spirit breathed a new life into him and kind of rejuvenated him. But he's 85 now, and he has, throughout his pontificate, Francis has kind of floated the possibility that when he's not able to continue as maybe he would like to, that he's open to stepping down. And in fact, he had actually written a letter that for whatever reason, for health or mental capacity, if he was incapacitated, that he's already offered a resignation letter in the event that something physically or mentally happens to him. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But I think at this moment, Pope Benedict's funeral will be this coming Thursday.
That's right. That's right. And, yeah. And actually, I'll even mention with that that we will carry that live on Relevant Radio. That's going to be, I believe, at 2:30 in the morning Central Time. So very, very wow. early, kind of middle of the night. But we're also going to rebroadcast it, give a special kind of airing during the day. And that'll be at noon Central here on Relevant Radio. So if you'd like to be able to hear and participate in that, you can listen at a more reasonable time there, at least for those of us here in North America. Again, noon Central. Father, we're getting to a point where we do need to take a break here shortly, but we do want to also talk about spiritual resolutions here. And I really appreciate your thoughts, though, in spending this first segment of the hour being able to talk about the life and the legacy of Pope Benedict XVI. So when we come back, let's dive into spiritual resolutions. And if you're listening, I also want to open up the phone for you. Have you made any spiritual resolutions for this year? What are they? And what are some, maybe some of the strategies that you are planning to use to help you follow through on those spiritual resolutions, making them a part of your regular routine? Or maybe you've done this in the past. What has helped you in the past to develop those good spiritual habits in your prayer life and other areas, allowing you to grow closer to God, to grow in your faith? Our phone number, if you'd like to call in and join the program and speak with Father Ethan, the phone number is 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. You can also email us, innerlife@relevantradio.com. Back with more in just a moment here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. This hour is sponsored by St. Gregory Recovery Center, helping you or a loved one live a substance-free life. Information at relevantradio.com/Gregory. That's relevantradio.com/Gregory. Welcome back to The Inner Life here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm Josh Raymond. Today, speaking with Father Ethan Southard. He is the pastor of St. John Ude's Church in Chatsworth, California. And today, talking about how we can make some spiritual resolutions. Yeah, you know, there's all those resolutions of trying to be healthier in the new year, trying to make some of those good, healthy habits. Well, we want to talk about those good, healthy spiritual habits that we can develop, that we can foster here in this new year as well. What are some of those things that you're trying to incorporate into your spiritual life? What are some things maybe you've done in the past, and how have you been able to see that success of keeping with those new routines, those new habits, those new practices in your spiritual life? We'd love to hear your experience and things that have worked for you that maybe other people can take and put into practice in their own lives. Our phone number to the studio, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. So, Father, I think when it comes to the standard resolutions that we think about associated with New Year's, again, most goals are probably, they revolve around being healthier, you know, start going to the gym, go on a diet to lose weight, maybe give up smoking or drinking or some other unhealthy habit. And I think, you know, that most of us then, we have this pretty good concept of the basics of a healthy physical lifestyle. You know, the eating more fruits and vegetables, be active, get enough sleep each night, and we could go on with that list. But in our spiritual lives, what should be on the list of those things that are really kind of essential to a healthy spiritual life?
This is a great topic. And just to maybe kind of tie the last segment together with this, with Benedict, I had just read a reflection recently from someone who had worked with him when he was at the Congregation for the Doctrine of Faith. So he was kind of Pope John Paul's right hand. And he had worked with him since 1987. And he referred to Benedict as Saintly Benedict. And I thought that was really beautiful, just Saintly Benedict. And I think it's fitting as well that Benedict's last words that we're told are, "Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you." So I think when you think of that, and we're talking about what does it mean to be spiritually fit, I think at the heart of what it means to be spiritually fit is humility. And again, I think that's, you know, just going back to what we were talking about that last segment, Benedict or Ratzinger, he had longed to retire. Even he was kind of encouraged by John Paul to stay on. He longed to go be a librarian and just spend his last years in the library. But then he served as Pope, being stretched. We got those beautiful images of Benedict, you know, traveling the world and embracing the people and, you know, with all the children and the babies. We didn't see that before. So even who he was as a person was being expanded. And then to resign, what a beautiful act of humility to really be listening to the Holy Spirit and to say, okay, well, this is the time, you know, and to open up the opportunity for a Pope Francis to come forward, or the church to be going in a different, you know, with a different pope. So at the heart of what it means to be spiritually fit, I would say that humility is at the heart of our spiritual life. Mm.
So, you know, even looking at Pope Benedict and coming to that point where he said, "I'm going to resign," you know, that I think that leads into a very natural thing that we should do periodically in our own lives, and that's just an evaluation of our spiritual life. And I'm not talking about a daily examine here, you know, or some regular examination of conscience. I'm meaning more that kind of 30,000-foot look down at the entirety of where I am currently in my spiritual life, taking stock of, am I growing in my relationship with God? Am I growing in my prayer life? Or maybe are things stagnating? Mm. Or am I struggling in certain areas? And so, you know, we can see that lived out in the life of Pope Benedict XVI. How often do you think we should do that kind of larger, that high level review of our spiritual progress?
I think this time of the year is a great opportunity just to reflect as we are beginning a new year. I think there's, even in the life of the church, our liturgical life, you know, we go through the different seasons. And so this is the Christmas season, and so it is a time to rejoice, celebrate the birth of Christ. But then we go into Lent. I think that's a great time just to kind of reflect as well and see where are we and where are we going. And again, even with the season of Lent, it's putting, you know, the crucifixion, the ultimate sacrifice, but the fullness, the Paschal mystery, the resurrection. We focus on Christ. And so we're seeing him. Christ is at the center of our lives. And I think from that perspective, we start to see where we are. How are we living? Is Christ at the center of my life? Or has something else taken the center place? Whether it's entertainment or we could fill that with a million other things. What has taken the center place of my life? And if it's not God, then it is a chance for us to take that 20,000 or 40,000 foot view and say, okay, you know, dear God, in humility, I've lost my focus. I've lost my track. Please help to guide me back to you. Please take the center of my life.
You talked about humility. You're talking about looking, is Jesus the center of my life? I mean, both of those, I think, go back to that, you know, that list of things that are essential to a healthy spiritual life. Any other things? I mean, I would say, of course, you know, regular reception of the sacraments, especially the Eucharist, you know, going to weekly Mass and other holy days of obligation, regular reception of the sacrament of confession, being reconciled. Those are two that would obviously stand out in my mind. Any other thoughts on things that we have as kind of that baseline of, okay, this is a good spiritual habit that will keep us healthy?
Sure. And obviously the church has given us the sacraments, and there, it's a beautiful gift of the Eucharist, certainly of confession, reconciliation, the sacraments of healing, the anointing. I went and had a beautiful anointing the other day. And it was just a really powerful moment. The church, you know, going back to Benedict and the Second Vacant Council, in Sancro Sanctum Concilium, one of the documents of the church from that council says that the reception of the Eucharist, if we don't have the proper disposition, that humility and that openness, that even the reception of sacraments could be in vain. So in other words, if it becomes an opportunity for what I'm doing, there's a danger of spiritual pride. And so we could start to slip into, without humility, we could start to slip into a spiritual pride, which would take the form of, look how good I am. I'm doing all of these. It's almost like, you know, going back into the scriptures, the two people in the temple. There's the tax collector, and he's keeping his head down, and he's banging, forgive me, Lord, have mercy on me, Lord, I'm a sinner. And Jesus is looking at the other one, the Pharisee, who's so prideful and saying, look what I do. You know, I fast, you know, twice a week. I tithe. I go to all the religious services. I do all of these things. And Jesus says, well, which one of these two men walked away justified? You know, it's the one who had that humility that was acknowledging, hey, I'm a sinner. God, have mercy. So I think as we begin the new year, certainly, yes, I think it's great to have that openness and that desire to grow spiritually. But I think the first place to start is for us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given you besides. Mm-hmm. You know, that's from Matthew. Right. So that's right at the beginning.
You know, I'm glad you brought up that that parable that Jesus tells of the Pharisee and the tax collector, because I think the very first words that the Pharisee says, I don't have it in front of me, so I might be misquoting this, but I think he basically says, God, I thank you that I am not like this other one. And I think that's, you know, it's so important to realize that can be a trap when we do that kind of spiritual self-evaluation, you know, that we don't want to start comparing ourselves to others. You know, if I just look at somebody else and say, I'm in pretty good shape because I'm not as bad as that person, that, you know, we can then start justifying our shortcomings or other areas in our life where we might be acting a bit lazy spiritually. But then on the other hand, comparison can be good. I don't want to, you know, say that all comparison is bad, because if we are looking at good habits, good practices, you know, from saints, from other holy people, then at that point, of course, that's great to say, oh, yeah, I want to emulate that. I want to grow to be the same as that person. If comparison leads to growth in virtues and in holiness, wonderful. But if we're using comparison as a means for giving myself an excuse so that I don't have to put in the effort, that's where that can become dangerous.
Yeah. And the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 29, verse 11 comes to mind. And so it says, "For I know well the plans I have in mind for you." They say this is an oracle of the Lord, so it's coming from God. "For I know well the plans I have in mind for you, plans for your welfare and not for woe, so as to give you a future of hope." And then he continues, he says, "When you call me and come and pray to me, I will listen to you. When you look for me, you will find me. Yes, when you seek me with all your heart, I will let you find me, and I will change your lot. I will gather you together from all the nations and all the places and bring you back to the place from which I have exiled you." So there's this beautiful promise, this hope, this relationship with God, where God has plans for us. So I think that goes back to even the humility. I doubt Benedict ever, or Joseph Ratzinger ever, could have imagined the life that he would have lived when he was first ordained a priest, that he was going to be a theologian, an influential theologian in the Second Vatican Council, that he was going to be an archbishop, that he would be a cardinal of the highest office in the church, and that he would be pope, and then that he would resign. But God had a plan. God had a plan, he had Ratzinger in mind. He had Pope Benedict in mind. But there was this humility that Ratzinger had to allow God to be the one to fill his sails, to allow God's spirit, the wind, to fill and to open up the wings that were Ratzinger, so that he could soar. So that openness that Jeremiah is sharing here to actually allow God to work in our lives, I think that's a great sign of spiritual health.
Yeah, and that's such a good, kind of reworking of that approach to any sort of goals or resolutions for a new year, especially spiritually. It's not, what are the plans I have for myself, but going back to what you were saying there in Jeremiah, okay, what are the plans you have for me, God? And if we look at that and say, okay, what are your plans? How can you guide me to where you want me to go? Then we're only going to have that much more success in growing in our relationship with God. So that's a beautiful way, I think, Father, of just kind of reapproaching that with that spiritual vision instead of kind of the worldly vision that's so easy to fall into in our lives. Again, talking with Father Ethan Southard here today on The Inner Life. He's a priest in the Archdiocese of Los Angeles, talking about spiritual resolutions that we can make here in this new year. How can we make those goals, take on something new that allows us to grow spiritually? And what have you done in your life that has allowed you to do that? Maybe it's been in past years and you've had success in maybe adding some time of prayer in the way that you've been able to exercise one of the corporal works of mercy, helping others in some way, or maybe one of the spiritual works of mercy. How have you been able to see that grow and become a regular part of your life, not just something you try for a week or two and then it just falls by the wayside? Maybe there's something you are trying this year and you'd like a little advice on how you can keep at it, keep with it here, and not let it fall away in the coming days or weeks. You're welcome to call in and speak with Father Ethan. The phone number to the studio is 888-914-3600. 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. Email address is innerlife@relevantradio.com. And when we come back, we'll talk about some different ways that we can make sure we do achieve those goals, those spiritual goals in our life. That's coming up next here on The Inner Life on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Our studio line is sponsored by the Catholic Order of Foresters. Learn how our sponsor can support your family with health insurance during 2023's open enrollment. Visit relevantradio.com/forester. Thanks for joining us here during this hour of The Inner Life. I'm Josh Raymond, and today I am joined by Father Ethan Southard. Father Ethan is the pastor of St. John Ude's Church in Chatsworth, California. And today, talking about those spiritual resolutions that we can make for the new year. What are those ways that we can look to incorporate those good, healthy spiritual habits into our lives and allow us to then, of course, grow in relationship with God? What are those habits that you're trying to foster, that you're trying to grow in this year? And we'd love to hear what you're doing. Maybe it's been some spiritual habits you've developed in past years. And of course, it doesn't only have to be at the beginning of the new year. Most of the spiritual habits that I've developed are not focused around the new year. I'm sure that's probably the same for you. You know, there are times where the Holy Spirit was working in my life, and it helped me to make that transition to develop some new habit, some new good behavior that allowed me to grow in that relationship with God. How has that happened in your life? What has helped you to continue that good, healthy practice or habit? Our phone number, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Father Ethan, so maybe we can talk about some just practical application here. You know, if it's wanting to pray more, you know, if it's wanting to try and make it to Mass more often, you know, maybe instead of just going every weekend, try and incorporate another one or two days during the week where you're attending daily Mass, certain things like that. You know, it might be good to talk about that we don't get a little too overly ambitious on our goals. At the beginning of the hour, I shared some different tips from UC Davis, from their health department, on how you can be more, you can set yourself up for better success in those goals that you're striving for. And I think we have to be practical about our daily schedule, our time commitments. You know, if you work, if you're married, if you have children, you have to be realistic about those responsibilities, those commitments. So, you know, maybe you can give us a little insight. How do you see, as a pastor of a parish, busy families, busy people with work, with family responsibilities, how do they incorporate spiritual growth into their busy schedules?
That's a great point. And I think two scriptures come to mind. The first one is Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. And it says, "For God is the one who for his good purpose works in you both to desire and to work." So God is the one who's taken that initiative. God is the one for his good purpose. So it's for holiness, it's for sanctity, it's for God's good purpose. And God is the one who works in you both to desire. So he puts the desire, he puts the idea, he puts, you know, what is it that we start thinking about? Like, where does the desire to even come to Mass, you know, during the week, to take an extra daily Mass during the week? Or when do we even desire to go to confession? Who wants to go to confession to confess their sins? I mean, but something stirs inside of us, right? So God is the one who places that desire, and God is the one who works in you to make it happen. So God is the one who is the one who's moving. That's Philippians 2:13. And so if we're in touch with what God is doing, if again, it goes back to that humility, if we're in touch with what God is doing, then we're allowing him to move in our life. Now, the opposite could be true, where You know, maybe we say, oh, I'm going to be holy and I'm going to do all of these spiritual practices. I'm going to, you know, say this prayer at this time today and this prayer and then that prayer. And I'm going to pray this novena and I'm going to pray five rosaries and I'm going to do all these things. And then pretty soon we fall short and then we get frustrated because we forgot the novena and it's midnight and we didn't pray our fifth rosary. And so we start getting depressed and exhausted. And then the other scripture that comes to mind, it's from Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. And so this is one of my favorite gospel passages. It's the gentle mastery of Christ. So Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for yourselves, for my yoke is easy and my burden light." And so when all of those burdens, all of those things that we think we have to do, those ways that we're trying to prove ourselves to someone else or even prove ourselves to God, when we get exhausted, Jesus says, "Come to me and I'll give you rest." But then he says, "Learn from me." He says, "Learn from me. I'm meek and humble of heart and you will have rest for yourselves. Take my yoke upon you." You know, God doesn't want us to be burdened and exhausted and worn out. He's not some taskmaster who's just demanding all of these things from us. He does have demands, but maybe it's not what we think. So my invitation for all of us, that there's a friend of mine. This is just a little side anecdote. A friend of mine is a businessman. And so he was reflecting on the new year. He went with his business partners and they were all sitting around the corporate desk and they started talking about resolutions. And so so they were going around and, "What is your resolution? What is your resolution?" And it came to him and he says, "Well, my resolution is to be poor in spirit," you know, the Beatitudes. Well, that's Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. So his resolution was to be poor in spirit. I don't think they were very impressed. Who wants to be poor in spirit? But that was his resolution. So if you want to have a happy new year, that's what Beatitudes mean. Beatitudes is another word for happiness. Mm-hmm. So if we want to have a happy new year, well, those are the Beatitudes. Let's have a happy new year. Well, the happiness, poor in spirit. Now, my friend, he said that his life was transformed that year, that his whole life was flipped upside down and he started becoming, his spiritual life started to grow. And it wasn't what he was doing, but it was just giving God a little bit of a chance, that poverty of spirit, actually allowing God to be the one, like Paul said in Philippians, to be the one to place the desire and to do the work. So how that comes out in all of our lives? We don't have to go build a temple or go build something huge, but maybe it's just being kind or just being open and listening to God, just the small things.
Well, you know, you also mentioned that if we are saying, "Well, I've got this list of prayers I want to say through the day," or "I've got, you know, I'm going to pray this at this point and this novena then," and if you don't make it, there's kind of the frustration and the maybe the feeling like you've failed, the discouragement that can come along with that. Mm. Going back to Pope Benedict XVI, one of my favorite stories that I heard about him, and this was an old spiritual director of mine, who said, you know, Pope Benedict XVI, he sometimes gets so caught up in meditating upon one of the mysteries of the rosary while he's praying that he might not make it through all five. He might just make it through the first one or the first two. And then he doesn't have time. But I thought, you know, if and I've shared this on the air before, but if the Pope can spend time in prayer and it's relational, it's not just a list of to-do items, you know, let's make sure I get in all of these, you know, these check marks, you know, I check off the boxes on this list of prayers, but if I'm actually spending the time in relationship there with God, if I have that example of Him, I shouldn't get so caught up in the did I complete my list? You know, because that would be the same thing for any relationship. If you're, you know, if you're, if I'm a man going out with my wife, and I'm taking her on some sort of date for the evening, and I say, well, I've got this and this and this and this and this planned, and we got to hit all these marks, otherwise it's not going to be a perfect night. But if we just make it to, you know, the first event and we have so much fun there, that the rest just kind of fall by the wayside, that's probably going to be a much more enjoyable and memorable evening than if I'm trying to rush and push us through a bunch of other events that detract from the time that we could be spending in relationship together.
Oh, that's beautiful, Josh. I love that. Yeah, it's about the relationship. It's our relationship with God. It's God's relationship with us. And yes, absolutely, it's great to have, you know, some sort of direction, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
To say, okay, well, you know, you don't want to go out on a date and just have nothing. And you sit in the car and you say, well, what are we going to do? No, you have some idea of where you're going to go. But then to be open, to actually allow that life to click in, or that life to be shared, that love to be shared, and to enjoy the moment. And it's the same like you're saying with prayer, with Benedict. That's beautiful. You know, okay, I'm going to start out, I'm going to pray this rosary. But if you get caught up in meditation or contemplation or that relationship with God, you know, where else are you going to go? You know, no, you're already there. You don't have to go anywhere else. You're already there. Enjoy that moment. And, you know, maybe that could be, it's those expectations. You know, maybe if we just open up a little bit of space and not just try to force, because then it just... We start to fill that space with pressure and stress. And if those expectations aren't met, we get frustrated, and it does just become a to-do list.
Yeah. We're getting towards the end of the hour here, and we've been talking a lot about the individual side, which of course is, you know, for all of us, that has to be first. But for families, especially parents, any thoughts on how to incorporate spiritual growth, maybe some attainable goals that a family might be able to accomplish here in the new year, ways that parents can help younger children?
Well, I think as they're modeling that light, that easy way, as they're modeling that with their children, the children start to pick up that spirit. They start to pick up that confidence and that trust. So it's that inner disposition, it's the inner way that the parents are modeling, and it starts to become part of it, that relationship, just like you're talking about that date night. You know, if the children are moved in love, and it's intentional and it's caring, then they're going to want to go to church with you. But if we go to church and it becomes a to-do list, or if we're doing all these different items and it's just, well, we have to do these so that, you know, God will love us, that actually could be, in the long run, I think that could start to push the children away. And the children say, I don't really like to go to church. I don't feel the love. So whatever we do, you know, whether it's just the simple thing of going to Mass once a week on Sunday, or praying the rosary, you know, once a week or every night or whatever that might be, if it's done with love and care and relationship, then the children are going to be responding to that. But if it's done with kind of as a taskmaster, and, well, we have to do this because this is what we're going to do to be holy this year, and it's dry and it could be something that people end up resenting,
sure,
which is the exact opposite of what we're looking for.
Right. One other thing before we wrap up the hour here, too. You know, it was one of those items on that list of suggestions how to accomplish goals. It was find accountability partners. And maybe you can talk in our last minute here about the importance of having somebody that knows that you're trying to strive for a goal.
I remember When I was really starting on this spiritual journey, I had a friend, a coworker actually, Scotty. And Scotty and I, we used to, we were just so amazed at what God was doing in our lives. And we would, on Saturdays, we would go out for lunch together. We would go to mass and pray a rosary and go to confession. And there was a spiritual friendship. And in a sense, we kind of became accountability partners, not in a negative way, but just in fun. And we would encourage each other, and knowing that we were going to have that moment together every Saturday afternoon, that was encouraging us through the week. Mm. So yes, find a friend or just ask God to introduce somebody to you so that you could journey together.
Father Ethan, thanks so much for being here with us for the hour. In our last 30 seconds, could I ask you to offer a blessing for our listeners?
Oh, I would love to. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
And may God continue to pour his blessing upon you. May his face shine upon you. And may he look upon you with kindness and love. May your hearts be filled with his love so that you would be a radiant example and the light of his to the world. And may God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. All right. Thanks again, Father Ethan. Have a good rest of your day. And thank you for listening. Stay tuned. Mass starts right now on Relevant Radio.